Hey, my name is Kevin Clark. I'm the host of a new football podcast called Slow News Day. I want to tell you about it. On Mondays, Lindsey Jones and I will recap the weekend in football that was, as well as look ahead to what's next. On Wednesday, the normal Slow News Day, the thing you've been watching for years, current players, current coaches, current analysts talking about the football world. And on Friday, it's a wild card. Could be some college football, could be more pro stuff. It's a video podcast, so you can watch it on Spotify or listen to it wherever you get your podcasts. Follow on Spotify. It's Slow News Day.
It's the Ringers Philly Special presented by FanDuel. April showers bring a loaded sports calendar, and FanDuel is the place to bet on it all. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub. Filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and get paid instantly when you win. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Philly, it's a tough city. You know, they're gonna tell you why it is, and you know, I love it. I like Philadelphia because they care.
Welcome to the Ringers Philly Special. Shield Kapadia here with Raheem Palmer. Sixers got a new head coach, Nick Nurse. Everybody's already planning for the championship next year, Raheem. This is all they needed. They're going. They're finally going to get out of the second round. Now, we're going to talk about it in an objective, analytical way. The emotion will seep in at some point. But Raheem, give me your initial thoughts. We talked about the candidates, I think, last time we were on. They end up with Nick Nurse. You get the text, you hear the news. What are you thinking about him as the next Sixers head coach?
I have mixed feelings. You know, one thing I will say is I do think Nick Nurse is an upgrade over Doc Rivers. I think he's willing to try different things. We've seen him, you know, throw these junk defenses out, you know, go to a box at one, do things like that. But we've also seen what he's done, you know, when Kawhi Leonard left the Toronto Raptors and the Toronto Raptors went 53-19 in a regular season. And they took the Boston Celtics to 7 games and almost made the Eastern Conference Finals the year after Kawhi Leonard left. So I do think he's an upgrade. However, on the other end, when you watch those Toronto Raptors teams, one of the things that, you know, a lot of Raptors fans have criticized Nurse for doing is overplaying his guys. He's almost like Tom Thibodeau in that, you know, he runs his main guys into the ground and he doesn't play his younger guys enough. And if there's one thing that, you know, Doc Rivers didn't do is that he also didn't develop younger guys. So that's a concern for me. We all know, you know, Joel Embiid, James Harden, those are guys who have to be load managed and you can't just put everything on them. So if we're not developing younger players, I think we're in trouble. But I think, you know, he'll be able to get a little bit more out of Joel Embiid, maybe James Harden, Tyrese Maxey than Doc Rivers did.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the same boat. I was like, okay, of the candidates available, I thought Doc Rivers, after the way that season ended, it was like something's got to happen. You know, and I'm usually not a something's got to happen kind of guy. I'm like, is it going to be an upgrade or not? But with the way they folded in that game, he had 3 years. He couldn't get him out of the second round. It was like, okay, move on, try something else. And of the candidates available, I thought Nurse was probably near the top of the list. At the same time, am I confident that if they had like Nick Nurse in that series against the Celtics, they're playing in the Eastern Conference Finals or the Finals? No, absolutely not. And we talked about it before. It's a Stars league. And is Nick Nurse going to be able to get more from the Stars than Doc Rivers was able to? I'm not sold on that. Is he going to be able to implement some more creative defensive schemes in a one-off playoff situation? I think, yeah. That is reasonable that he'll be able to do that. So we'll get into a little bit about what he brings to the table offensively and defensively. But just the way it happened, ESPN had a report that Nick Nurse chose the Sixers over the Suns. Now, since that, our very own Bill Simmons, and there was also a Phoenix media personality out there, were pretty much saying, no, that Suns deal was done. Like, he was not going to get that Suns job. And there was also the report that he withdrew his name from the Bucks job. Raheem, we're veteran enough to know that when a coach withdraws his name from a coaching job, it's usually because he's not actually getting that job. So it's not like, you know, I think it was sold. There was some spin out there about what kind of traction he was getting with these other jobs. Ultimately, he lands the Sixers job. And I think the ESPN report said he sold a vision for the Sixers centered on Joel Embiid. Raheem, I mean, what else are you going to sell? What else are you going to sell the Sixers' vision on other than Joel Embiid, the reigning MVP, and finally getting out of the second round? Like, I'm supposed to be impressed with that? I'm probably reading too much into this, right? See, the emotion is already coming out of me.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you have to please Joel Embiid. And the one thing I will say about that is that I imagine that, you know, Joel Embiid, he didn't want to see Doc Rivers go. But he knows when he went up against the Toronto Raptors, those Raptors teams gave Joel Embiid some problems. So I think, you know, being able to sell a vision based on Joel Embiid, it helps, because we all know James Harden is a free agent. And with James Harden, if he leaves and he goes back to Houston, this is kind of going to be a gap year for the Philadelphia 76ers. They have no way of replacing his production. So you have to keep Joel Embiid happy, because you don't want him, you know, forcing a trade. So I think, you know, that's a positive in that regard.
My car's right out here, Raheem. If James needs a ride, you know, I don't know how to get into the private jet areas, but I imagine with him in the car with me, they'll let me get there, because I don't need to see a repeat of what we just saw there. But with Nick Nurse, what are the Sixers getting? Let's get into that, right? Five NBA seasons with the Toronto Raptors. Only got out of the second round once. At the same time, you have to look at the talent he was working with. And I think it's like, you can reasonably argue that three out of those 5 years were very impressive coaching jobs, right? The 1 year with Kawhi, they win the title. You mentioned it. The next year without Kawhi, they go 53-19. And then just not this past year, but the year before, they go 48-34. Sixers beat them in the first round. But you look at the talent on those teams, and you can easily argue that, man, he got the most out of the talent at his disposal. How do you kind of look at his Raptors run, and do you see it the same way I did?
I think he got the most out of them, but the one thing I will say about those Toronto Raptors teams is that they were already ready-made and built already. I mean, Dwayne Casey built the culture of that team. You know, like, you already had a guy like Kyle Lowry, who's a proven leader. And, you know, since Kyle Lowry left, and, you know, they weren't really the same team. They were a team who, you know, like, they kind of struggle offensively. You know, they had moments where they struggled defensively. So, I mean, the jury is still out on him. I'm going to be honest with you. I just don't know what we're going to get, honestly. And, you know, he's had this reputation of being a defensive-minded coach. But the one thing I will say is that when they initially brought him in, he was the assistant for Dwayne Casey. And he was seen as the offensive-minded head coach, you know, who would, you know, have a lot more ball movement. Because when, you know, DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry were there, it was just, you know, straight ISO. So it's tough to know exactly what we're going to get, honestly. I like the hire, but I'm torn on what we're going to get.
Raheem, I got to say, of like, you know, usually when there's a coaching hire with any of the Philly teams, you know, you start getting on your group threads, or people are talking about it around town, your neighbors, whatever. Like, there's not that buzzy feeling of like, you know, most people are exactly how you framed it. I like the hire. It's an upgrade over Doc. Is it going to matter? Probably not. And like that is how I feel. I mean, I don't know if you saw Barkley and Shaq had an interesting, I thought, discussion about how much coaching matters after game 7 of that Celtics Heat series, where Shaq was like, dude, I was a star. Like, coaching didn't matter. Like, either I was going to go in and play well, or I was going to go in and not play well. And Barkley was making the point, the coaching wasn't for you, Shaq. The coaching is for the role players. Like, can you get, you know, a C player to play like a B player in a playoff series? You know what I mean? Those little victories on the edges, on the margins there. And so I was trying to figure out, what do the Sixers need from Nick Nurse? Like, this was the third ranked offense in the NBA last year. Like, this offense, it sucked. Yeah, it sucked down the stretch against the Celtics. That's a small sample. But if you zoom out, this was a very good offense, the best offense they've had with Joel Embiid. I think we can reasonably expect the defense to be better with Nick Nurse. That's kind of his area of expertise. But, like, what do they need from a coach? They need a coach to be able to get the A-plus version of Joel Embiid in the playoffs. And is Nick Nurse going to be that guy? Like, where do you see him giving them an edge? And is, like, Joel Embiid, for as bad as the playoffs were, he just won the MVP. Like, is there more room to grow, or where does he give Joel Embiid an edge?
Well, here's the thing. You know, when you watch those Toronto Raptors teams, they push the pace in transition. The Sixers play slow.
Yeah.
So it's just like the styles of what Toronto did and what they did well is completely different from what the Sixers are doing well. So it's really tough. I you're asking a head coach who did something completely different to be able to just, you know, make the best out of this situation, which is just tough for me. So I have confidence that Nurse is going to be able to make some adjustments. That's the one thing that we always saw him do in Toronto. He made adjustments, and that's something that Doc hasn't done. So I think the big part of it is you got to keep Joel Embiid healthy. I think a big part of his performance in the postseason this year was because he was banged up. He chased the MVP this year. And then in the first round of the playoffs, he gets hurt. And I don't know if he was ever really the same guy. And, you know, I think part of it is personnel at the end of the day. You know, you still have to rely on other guys to be able to hit shots. Like PJ Tucker, you know, as tough as he is, he's not a guy that you can really rely on to score. And, you know, if you got guys helping on Joel Embiid and just allowing PJ Tucker to shoot corner threes, I think it puts you in a bad spot. So we'll see what other moves Daryl Morey makes. But, I mean, I think the jury is still out on this whole situation.
Yeah, the management of personalities is going to be interesting because Joel Embiid is on the record that he thought Doc did a good job. And so much of NBA coaching is, what is your relationship like with the best one or two players on the team? Nick Nurse in Toronto would ruffle some feathers with some of the role guys. You know, Gary Trent Jr. was saying that sometimes he would hear criticism in the media from Nick Nurse where Nick Nurse hadn't communicated that criticism to him, to his face. Now, take it all with a grain of salt, right? This is the kind of stuff that comes out when a coach gets fired. With Kawhi, it was fine. Obviously, that was a great version of Kawhi Leonard that we saw during the championship season. But let's close with this for the FanDuel TV segment, and then we'll get to more later here. James Harden, what does this hire, if anything, tell you about the likelihood or unlikelihood of James Harden returning to the 76ers?
I don't think it tells us anything. I mean, okay, it's just a matter of what the Sixers are willing to offer him monetarily. I think that's going to tell us more than anything. So I just think the jury is still out. It's still so much that we just don't know.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I agree with you. Yeah, I don't know that I'm sure James Harden was obviously on the record. I don't think he wanted Doc coming back. But after that, you know, aside from like Mike D'Antoni, who I'm sure he would have said, all right, maybe that plays a little bit of a role. I think everyone else probably comes in and he would have said, all right, that's fine or that's not fine or whatever. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, to me, it just feels like, hey, I'll talk to you next May type of season. You know, I really believe even without James Harden, I think this can still be a very good team. I think we forget that the year before they were 32-22 before they acquired James Harden. That was with Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, who wasn't as good as he is now, and a bunch of role players. And that's what you're potentially going into next season with. The East, I mean, we're looking at the landscape of the East. It's not a great conference. I mean, you can absolutely compete with the better teams in the NBA. We just saw it. They took Boston to 7 games. Boston takes Miami to 7 games. Miami is going to the final. So I don't think it's going to be a throwaway year. It's not like don't pay attention. You know, they're going to have a good team in the regular season. But I think the entire fan base has reached the point where we're just like, let's see what happens will be guarded. No one's going to be over the moon that this team's going to the finals until they get past the second round of the playoffs. So remember, you can catch this segment on FanDuel TV and listen to the Ringers Philly special on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back with more after the break.
Make a break fast to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs because right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's right, $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Me personally, I love FanDuel Sportsbook. They have great promotions every day. Safe, secure app, and you get paid instantly with all your bets. Me personally, I love the Denver Nuggets. -1.5 on the series spread against the Miami Heat in the NBA Finals. You place that bet, I think you have a good chance of winning. There's no better place to place all your playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. Just visit FanDuel.com/RingerPhilly and get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's FanDuel.com/RingerPhilly. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Call 1-877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK. 21 and up in select states. First online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Refund is issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with the Kansas Star Casino LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 533-42 if you're in Arizona. If you're in Connecticut, call 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com. Louisiana, 1-877-770-STOP. Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Wyoming, 1-800-522-4700. Or if you're in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net.
We're back on the Ringers Philly special. Remember, you can watch that first segment on FanDuel TV or even in your Spotify app. There'll be video with that. But we wanted to get into a little deeper discussion here, Raheem, some of the things you mentioned there, specifically with the style of play. That's very interesting to me. You know, Nick Nurse in Toronto, it was be aggressive, create turnovers. That was kind of their calling card, get out in transition. The Sixers don't have the personnel to play that way. So did Nick Nurse just play that way because of the players he had, which is what good coaches do? You mold the style to the personnel you have. Or is that how he prefers to play? Because if that's how he prefers to play, then what you said is accurate. Like, they need to make some personnel changes to be able to play that way. And I don't know that it really makes sense to play like that when you have Joel Embiid and the half-court offense that you have on this roster.
Yeah. I mean, you have two guys. I mean, I'm going to assume that James Harden's going to be back.
Really? Just because do you really feel that way?
I think the Sixers are just in a tough position where, you know, like, they kind of have to just pay James Harden, because if they don't, then, you know, even if, I mean, whether we pay him $200 million or we pay him $150 million, what does it matter? You still need his production. And we're still over the cap regardless. So I'm just going to assume that he's going to be back unless he really, really wants to be in Houston. And if he's back, you have two players in Joel Embiid and James Harden who slow the pace of the game down. So I don't think we're going to be seeing a running offense. Now, I think that gives Nick Nurse a better half-court offense than what we saw in Toronto. I think one of the reasons why Toronto had to run is because they just didn't have guys who could really get their own shot in the half-court outside of Pascal Siakam. I mean, so, you know, getting out in transition and running was the easiest way for them to score. So,
I mean, the offense isn't broken, right? I mean, the offense was broken in the playoffs, but that was what, you know, we're talking about a game and a half. You're not going to make big decisions based on, well, I guess you made kind of a coaching decision based on that, but you know what I'm saying? Like, stylistically, there was a lot that worked with this offense specifically, if you believe like you do that James Harden is back. Like it's not like you have to just blow up what you were doing and find something else. You have the Harden Embiid pick and roll. You have Embiid at the nail. You had the highest percentage three-point shooting team in the NBA. And so you had a lot working there. So I'm with you. I think if he's a good coach, you don't say, no, we're scrapping that and playing a different way. I think you can just play a lot the way you played last year and then make those tweaks so that you're still able to do that in the playoffs. If you look at the numbers, Nick Nurse has once produced a top 10 offense with the Raptors in 5 years. That was the Kawhi year. Defensively, though, is a different story. I mean, they had three top 10 finishes in 5 years in terms of defensive rating. This is per cleaningtheglass.com. I mean, is that where you look at it and say, like, defense and adjustments in playoff series, like, the best case scenario, is that where that's where Nick Nurse makes the difference? Maybe not.
See, I mean, this is tough for me just because defensively, you know, like when you look at that roster with the Toronto Raptors, they had a lot of length. They had, you know, Pascal Siakam. They had OG Anunoby. They had, you know, like they just had all of these switchable wings, you know, Scotty Barnes. And they were allowed to, you know, play aggressively and force turnover. You know, like if this was the team with Ben Simmons and Matisse Thybul and you're plugging them into Nick Nurse's defensive system, then it feels like, oh, yeah, this is the perfect match. So he's going to have to adjust on the defensive end just as much as he has to adjust on the offensive end. So it's just going to be interesting to see what he does. I mean, like the most common, like I say, the most common thing between these two teams is when the year when he coached Kawhi Leonard and he had Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol could, you know, Joel Embiid can fit in the Marc Gasol role. So it's just a matter about how he puts it together. There's a lot of unknowns right now.
Yeah, there's unknowns with the roster. I mean, like you said, with Harden, I'm less sure than you are that he's coming back with this team, especially with the new CBA, like listening to some of the people who know that better. It's like you kind of have your shots to get the two guys. And do you want to lock into James Harden at 34 years old? I mean, I hear what you're saying. His production will be tough to replace if you let him go. It's just hard for me to watch that and watch year in and year out in the playoffs and think that next year's going to be different. Now, they might feel differently and they might feel like you and say, hey, we'll be a great regular season team with him. We'll pay him. Maybe Nick Nurse can give us an edge in a weak Eastern Conference and we'll advance next year. We're already in the seventh game against the Boston Celtics. So I could see them thinking that way. I just think for a large portion of the fan base, that's going to be tough to stomach. What do you think? I mean, how do you think Embiid reacts to this? Like there were some, you know, obviously publicly it was, hey, Embiid is mad about Doc. There was some thought that is Daryl Morey just kind of covering for Embiid and saying, putting that out there so it doesn't look like Embiid is a coach killer at this stage in his career. Like, was that a bit of PR? If you were a fly on the wall at Joel Embiid's house when he got the news, how do you think he feels about it in the direction of the franchise with Nick Nurse replacing Doc Rivers?
I think he'll like Nick Nurse just because I think the Toronto Raptors team has caused him some problems. So I think there's a respect level there. And we all know Nick Nurse has won an NBA championship. So I think he'll like it initially, but I mean, we won't know until the season starts. Obviously, I do think he liked Doc Rivers and I do think it was a disappointment for him, but I think he'll like this hire.
There you go. All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Anything else, Raheem? You got to get off your chest with the Nick Nurse.
I honestly think the biggest issue we have is personnel. I'm gonna be honest with you. I think that is the number one issue we have. And you know, like when you have Joel Embiid and James Harden, you have two guys who you can build around. Same with Tyrese Maxey. I think they have to figure out the pieces around them. I like DeAnthony Melton, but you know, Tobias Harris, he's on an expiring deal. I think, you know, maybe he's a guy you might want to move. Just because we just have to. I mean, when you're going up against teams like Boston, even you look at the fact that Miami Heat, they had guys like Caleb Martin and Gabe Vincent step up. Each one of these playoff teams, they're deep. And they have a guy who is going to just be able to get you 20, 30 points at any time. And I don't know if the Philadelphia 76ers had that last year. When I watched the Sixers last year, and I stressed this so much, that James Harden was our most important player. And they basically had to be Kobe and Shaq for them to win. And you saw the two games in which we won in the Eastern Conference semifinals. James Harden put up 40 points in each of them. And then the other one, Tyrese Maxey, went off. So I just think we need to find those guys between the margins, the Caleb Martins, the Gabe Vincent, or just a wing who can just, you know, really just, you know, put his foot down and say, I'm going to score. And I mean, I like Tobias Harris. I do feel like, you know, it says a lot about him that, you know, he was able to fit in this role where he's kind of overqualified. Like, he's not a guy who, you know, is the typical third wheel on a team. But I don't know if he's the right fit for this team. So I think the personnel is really going to determine how far we go. I don't know if Nick Nurse can really change anything to make us go further.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I look at it as the best players have to be at their best in the biggest spots. I mean, they got four guys who can get you 20 on a given night. I mean, Embiid, Harden, Maxey can do it for you. And like you mentioned, Tobias Harris on the right night can do it for you. I mean, everybody's going to look at the Heat, and I'm with you. Like, yeah, it would be great to get some of those role players. The Heat, to me, feel like kind of an anomaly a little bit with the way they built that team. And they have a coach who we know can make a difference. And they have a, you know, star player who is going to set the tone for everybody else on the roster. So I don't know how many options they have to upgrade around the top of this roster. We'll see what Daryl Morey comes up with. That's what his job is. That's what he is paid to do. But I just wonder, it just feels like there's a little bit of a complacency around this team. When you just look at kind of fan base is just going to look at it and like, just think of game one next year. We're all going to be excited because the NBA is starting and like, all right, it's a new coach, but you're going to have that feeling inside that's just going to not, you know, guard against you getting really excited about that team unless they are just far and away look like the best team in the NBA. That's just the state of the franchise right now with the way last season ended. So we'll see what else they do this summer. Nick Nurse replaces Doc Rivers. Will it matter? Who knows? Was it an upgrade? Probably fine decision to make, but will it matter is the big question. All right, I'm going to let Raheem go. Then Cliff's going to come back with me. We're going to spin around, do a little Cliff's group chat as we usually do once a week. Raheem, what else you got going on? I've been following the hundreds. Listen, Raheem, what's the record on the hundreds? You went on a heater while I was out of the country, which I did not appreciate. No FanDuel over there in Stockholm, Sweden, but you're on a nice little run here, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm trying. I mean, right now we're 50-37-1. Plus $862, holding about 5%. So, I mean, that's good in the betting world. Obviously, yeah. I would have loved to do better. But, I mean, we've been rolling. We hit the under on game 7, under 204.5. I feel like my record should be better than this. I'm very competitive. So, but I'm just happy that, you know, we're in the green. Everybody's making a little bit of money. And we won a couple in a row. So, just hopefully we can keep it going throughout the NBA finals and then close this year off right.
I like it. Check that out on the Ringer gambling show with Raheem, or you can check it out on theringer.com. They put up his picks every day. I'm going to be looking at those for the NBA finals. All right. Thanks, Raheem. We'll be back in a moment with me and Cliff with Cliff's group chat. We are back on the Ringer's Philly special. Sheil Kapadia joined by the man, myth, the legend, the group chat. Segment is back with Cliff Augustine. Cliff, you were sitting there. You were probably biting your tongue a little bit. I know you have thoughts on this. What did you think about what Raheem and I were saying? Where are you with the Nick Nurse hire replacing Doc Rivers?
So actually, when this initially came out, I said I like the hire. I think of, and you put it correctly, of all the retreads that were actually out there, the Monty Williams, the Doc Rivers, obviously we weren't going to hire Doc back, but Monty Williams, Doc Rivers, Nick Nurse. I thought Nick was the best option because I feel like a lot of players like playing for him, even though you did say, I saw Chris Boucher's comments and he said, you know, something about losing playing time or whatever, but I'm watching Raptors games and I'm thinking to myself, well, Boucher definitely does have a lot of talent. And he's definitely, there's some potential there with him. But at the same time, he does make some knucklehead plays, which is why, like it's more so of like a no-nonsense leash with him, where he's like, look, like, I'm a bencher if you just do a lot of stupid things on the court. And I'm fine with that, personally. I feel like a lot of dudes on the Sixers in the past have had either a shorter or longer leash. Matisse Thybulle, not to name any names, yeah. But dudes like that, that you know that they have potential, you see it in them, but they're not performing up to the standard. And Nick Nurse is a guy who's like, look, man, I'm trying to win. So at the end of the day, if you're not contributing to winning, then what value do you bring to this team? What value do you bring to being on the floor? Same with Gary Trent, a lot of potential. That dude is actually pretty good at basketball. His father played in the league, went to Duke for a year. I've seen him make timely threes. I've seen him play really good defense. I've seen him lock up a lot of two guards in the NBA. But at the same time, if you're not hitting shots, then what's the point of you being on the floor? You know what I mean? So,
yeah. There was a Rich Hoffman, Eric Kareen article in The Athletic. And it was kind of what you said, like, for the younger players, he had a short leash, which is, that's pretty much how Doc has been. But I was like wondering, how much does that even matter for the Sixers? I mean, they're a veteran team. Like, think of all the guys who are going to be playing for you. Like, yeah, maybe you have a couple young guys that you add to the roster or whatever for next year. But for the most part, like, I don't think that's not going to make or break the Sixers season, is whether you played a couple. I mean, it might frustrate some fans, but that's not going to determine whether they get to the Eastern Conference Final, whether they play Jaden Springer 10 minutes or 6 minutes in a game in January. You know what I mean?
Furkan or Shake Milton or somebody like that.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's dudes that we've seen enough of, and we're just like, all right, man, I've seen it all. I get, like, the concern of running your players into the ground, because we just saw Embiid for the last, I don't even know, how many years has he been injured in the playoffs, now that I think about it? It was last year he missed games in the playoffs. It was this year he missed games in the playoffs. I want to say, no, he played the entire bubble pandemic thingy, whatever that situation was. The dude has missed time in the playoffs, which is very concerning. But, I mean, I think Nick Nurse is smart enough to realize, all right, look, I have an aging big man. I'm not about to play him 45-plus a night just so we can get a W in the middle of the wintertime. Like, we can kind of maintain and coast this thing and wait till – springtime or close to springtime to pick it up. Like, I don't think he's really I think in the NBA, we just saw the Miami Heat literally lose a play-in game, become the eighth seed, and make it to the NBA Finals. I think all that seeding and whatnot just isn't as important. Like Raheem said, the depth is what's important. So I want to see what type of players that we can actually make a run for in the offseason, besides maybe bringing James Harden back, which I think is the likely scenario, just because, like I said, I don't think Daryl Morey wants to lose that asset. And on top of that, I think he actually really likes James Harden. I think James Harden is playing a game of chicken because he thinks he's going to get that $200 million from somebody. And I don't think that's going to be either Houston or Philly. I don't see that man getting a 4-year, $200 million extension from anybody after whatever happened in game 7. Like, who in their right mind, what executive in their right mind would give him anything near that? Like, I can see the 150. The two plus one, put the 150 in there, but like, there's no chance in hell you could see $200 million being given to James Harden for 4 years guaranteed. I get it. This is his last contract, but this dude is 33 right now.
34. He's going to be 34 next season. And I'm just like, the asset part, even to me, it's like, is he going to be a great asset?
You ready to wash off the old? You're ready too.
You're gonna be coming with me to the airport. He might have big bags. I might need your help in the getting him out of the truck here on time, seeing you on taxi. You're with me. Oh, this is just gonna be annoying. It's gonna be frustrating. I mean, you mentioned it. Could someone talk themselves into, like, I can make the case. All right, I'm James Harden's agent. Here's the case. It's very simple. He shot better than he ever has from beyond the arc last year. He led the NBA in assists last year. Okay, he's getting ripped for the end of that series. Guess what? Who put the team on his back for two games in that series against the Celtics, one of the best defensive teams in the NBA, where the Sixers might get swept if he doesn't have those two games? So, like, if I'm his agent, I can make the case there. He's a pretty durable player, and he found ways to adjust his game last year, even though he wasn't the same player he has been in terms of getting to the rim and finishing. Now, you and I watched the end of it's impossible to get the last two games out of our heads when we think about James Harden. And just like throughout sports, players do not improve at the age of 34 years old. Like, I'm sorry. It just doesn't happen. Like, you're, especially basketball, you're past your athletic prime. You know, the decline is coming. It's just a matter of how steep it is.
Think about in basketball, right? When you think about a guy like Harden, what's his best attribute is dribble. I can break you down and I can go to the line, either get a layup or I'm going to get fouled going up. He can't even do that no more now.
He can't draw fouls anymore. No, and it's so frustrating when he tries to.
His best attribute is the court vision, right? And where did a bunch of his assists come from? Off the pick and roll and just giving it to Embiid. And Embiid is just making a basket off of that. That's like half of his assists probably. I literally think they had the best combination of like player to player assist to score ratio or whatever. However the stat is broken down. But like, to me, it's mind-boggling because his number one move is no longer there. So how do you think that's going? How do you think that's going to happen when he's 36 years old and we're going to see him in the Sixers uniform running down the court, and then Robert Williams is going to go up and block his shot, or Bam Adebayo, or who's another center in the East? You know, whoever. Pascal Siakam, just some, like, there's going to be a wing or a forward that's going to just bait him into doing, thinking he's going to get a layup, and then he's just going to block it, or he's not even going to try to attack the hole anymore. Like we saw in the playoffs, he became timid. Like, I had never really seen James Harden be quote unquote scared, because like, even in the past failures, like, he would go up and he would still take shots. But like, this past playoff series was kind of jarring, because it was games where he's knocking down a shot. And I know that feeling, man. I'm a lefty, man. When you get hot, you just get hot and those shots start going in. But when them shots wasn't going in and he had no confidence, he checked out. And to me, I feel like when you go to the bargaining table, that's a lot of that stuff is going to be brought up. It's going to be like baseball arbitration. Like, when those dudes go to arbitration to get that extra $4 or $5 million, what gets brought up? Oh, well, you struck out here in this scenario. Like, they're bringing up little tiny things that you didn't do well. And to me, it's going to be a crazy level of frustration to Sixers fans that they have to come back and witness that for another 4 years. Like, kind of like how in Phoenix, where the CP3 deal is kind of going down to the wire now, where Suns fans were happy that he was hurt towards the end of that series. They didn't even want to see him play. Like, are we going to be in that type of scenario where, all right, we're going to drag this out? We're going to have to see James Harden be 38 years old, be completely washed of himself, and he's going to be making $50 million when you know there's 4 or 5 players in the NBA that could probably make up his salary and contribute, like a Caleb Martin, like a Duncan Robinson, like a Gabe Vincent, like a Max Strus. Like, that's going to make my head just explode if I have to see that. So, yeah. I don't know, man. We are stuck in a very, very big predicament. And thank God Daryl Morey's here. Thank God he gets paid the big bucks to fix it, because I don't even know where to begin, honestly. Like, a lot of this stuff sounds easy. It sounds easy to say, trade Tobias, bring James back, find some wing players, do this move, do that move. But it's easier said than done. So Daryl Morey has a lot of work to do, like a ton of work to do.
Yeah, I'm fine with going Embiid, Maxey for a year, and then trying to build around, find some edges around the margins. You know, that's what Morey's paid to do. All those guys with the Heat, we're all probably going to overreact to it, but how can you not when you watch the way Vincent and Caleb Martin are playing in the Eastern Conference Finals? It's like, all right, do your job, but now you got to go find somebody like that who's going to fit. And again, it's not a loaded Eastern Conference. Like, who knows what the Celtics are going to do with Jaylen Brown this summer? The Heat got to the finals, but no one, like you said, they barely got in the, you know, got past the play-in game. Like, they're not juggernauts in the Eastern Conference. So you actually, I think, even if you let Harden walk, it's not like a just throw it away year. I mean, if Embiid just is better in the playoffs and is healthy, if Maxey continues to improve, and then if you find kind of one other guy, somewhere who doesn't have to be great, but, you know, fits a nice role, and Nick Nurse gives you an edge with some of the X's and O's, like, you can talk yourself into the team being, you know, competitive and potentially making the Eastern Conference Finals, making the finals next year. But to your Harden point, Cliff, I was just looking up the numbers as you said that. So he averaged 6.2 free throws per game last year, by far his lowest average since he became a starter. Like, the last time he had a lower free throws per game was when OKC? He was in OKC. Yeah. Damn. And by the way, that number drops in the playoffs to 5.0. Remember what that first series? I mean, he like was not getting to the line at all. Yeah. And so, that part of his game, that is not That is not coming back. So it's just hard for me to envision like a better version or maybe even the same version of Harden as you got last year.
And it stinks because the refs are like a lot of these are actual like fouls, but I feel like this is like retribution from the NBA referees for all the years he was getting away with some of these, you know, ticky tack hand calls. But a lot of these are actual, like I'm watching some of these games. I'm like, damn, like the last dude just got a call for that. But James just got attacked by two different people and he's not even going to get a call. So yeah, there's a mixture of referee hate, slowness, you know, old age, a lot of timidness. It's very weird. Yeah. And I don't think any of that improves. I don't think any of it improves whatsoever. And you are right. Like when you find a fill in the gap guy, like, you know how Caleb Martin got on the Miami Heat?
No, what's the back?
You know the story? So I think Charlotte had either released him or his contract expired, and he was on the phone with J. Cole, right? J. Cole, obviously notoriously from North Carolina, big Charlotte Hornets fan. He called Caron Butler and was like, yo, you know, Caleb Martin, this is my guy. Like he needs a new home. They literally got him a tryout in Miami. He became a Miami Heat player. It sounded like a 2-year deal or something like that. Like, there's dudes in the NBA you could do that with, like, who could feel like Caleb Martin balled out. He could have been conference finals MVP. And yeah, for some reason, we have guys that I feel like can fill a role like that, but they just don't do it. And I feel like that's a lot of that is coaching. A lot of that is putting guys in opportune positions to be effective on offensive and defensive end. Like, I feel like Melton and, you know, McDaniels and dudes like that could definitely be effective. Like, there's no reason to why, you know, they come in again, or, you know, even Daniel House, I've seen him be effective in the past. Like, I think he's only, what, 27, 28 years old. There's no reason those guys can't contribute in a playoff setting. And I feel like Nick Nurse can definitely be the guy to make that happen. Like, again, beyond Kawhi Leonard being Michael Jordan and, you know, LeBron back in the day to win that finals, other dudes did step up. Like, Danny Green did have a record for most threes in a finals game. Like, Fred VanVleet became a star in that finals. You know, Pascal Siakam was a relatively mild no name in that portion of his career, and he became somewhat of a star going into that. And then the next year, they had the number one record in the East. Yeah. Like, we've seen him help dudes improve, and I feel like he can do the same thing here. I feel like he can bring a different attitude here. I feel like he's not a neighbor like Doc was. Like, I feel like there's going to be somewhat of a culture shift, and I'm all for it. So I'm ready. I'm happy he's going to try something new. I'm happy he's going to bring in some different strategies. I overall like the hire, but you know, there's a lot going on, and we'll see what happens with that. But there's something else I want to touch on the Sixers. So right behind you, for all the listeners here, I'm sorry, I'm gonna give you a visual here. There's a Daily News picture of Allen Iverson right behind Shield back in the day. It says the MVP, which is clearly from the 2001 NBA season when Allen Iverson won the NBA MVP. And that was a magical run for the Sixers, who ended up going to the finals, losing to the Lakers in 5 games, which is very unfortunate. That broke my heart. That was the reason why I actually started loving sports. It's because of that team. And chill, man. They made a documentary called Everything But the Chip, which premieres tonight for all the people that'll be listening to this podcast before as it drops on Wednesday afternoon. There's a show called Everything But the Chip. And I'm just like, damn. We just went through like 4 or 5 years of losing to the second round. Now we have to be revisited with a team that we all love, a beloved team in Philadelphia history. But they didn't win a championship. So now we have to relive not winning a championship again. Like, the wound just stays open. Like, are you mentally prepared to watch something like this? Are you going to get enjoyment out of it? Is it too soon? How should the Philly fans feel about this?
It is weird. I mean, when do they make a documentary about a team that didn't win the championship? I don't know why they
No. What do you mean? You never seen Four Falls in Buffalo?
Okay. Well, but that was Four Falls. Like, that was it wasn't just a random, like, that was a one-off team. Like, they didn't get back. It was just, I mean, so I don't know why. I don't know what the motivation was behind making that documentary. I actually didn't know anything about it until the last game. It was the last playoff game, right? Where I saw the commercial. I'm like, wait, what is this? Why?
I'll give you another.
Larry Brown on my screen.
Let me give you another example. They definitely did a Shaq and Penny doc for the Magic with like a 30 for 30, and they didn't win anything either.
Okay.
I think what they won.
I don't know.
They beat Jordan in the series. That's what they won one time. Jordan when he
those were a little different. There was like more to the story behind it. Maybe not. Maybe, but to answer your question, I probably won't watch it live. I will record it. I will watch it, and it will make me feel good. It will bring back great memories. I was a senior in high school at the time. That's my favorite team of all time. I don't think I missed a game all season. I remember like stuff happening, you know, like socially, and I'm like, nah, I'm good. Sixers play the Magic tonight. I'm just saying, and I'm not missing. They were so fun.
You were 18.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Was not going to parties and other events because he's watching the Sixers play basketball?
100%. Now, sometimes the social event was around a Sixers viewing. Okay. So that was more, but if it was like, no, this is something where you're not going to be able to watch the Sixers game, it was hard to record stuff back then. Cliff, I'm old. You couldn't just hit a thing on the DVR and watch it when you get home. So 100%. I mean, that team brought me joy. I knew what I was getting every night. They were fun. They had a great star. They were enjoyable. Everybody knew their role. I will watch that at some point, and it will bring back great memories because I know they lost that game. You know what? People don't talk about that game too. They really had a chance to win. They had a chance to leave LA up 2-0 in that series. That's that famous clip of AI and Kobe kind of getting into it at half court during the free throw or whatever it was. But yeah, I don't care that they lost. I mean, you've heard my take a million times. Like, I'm not a championship or bust guy. Did you entertain me? Am I glad I spent time with you? Did I find you enjoyable? That's how I relate to teams. It's not just, did you bring me a trophy or not? Like, I think people will look back on this last Eagles team that way. Yep. Even if they don't win like a title with Jalen Hurts, they'll be like, man, that was such a fun season. One of the greatest Eagles teams of my lifetime. That's how I feel about that Sixers team. So I will agree that it sort of feels weird and I don't understand the timing or any of it. But you're damn right. I'm going to sit in front of the TV at some point and watch that. And I'll feel good about a franchise I used to love. And now that I'm just mostly annoyed with.
I used to love. Man, that team had MVP, Coach of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Sixth Man of the Year.
Aaron McKay was great.
Am I missing? Did they like sweep the NBA Awards?
They swept all that. And AI was All-Star MVP too. Great All-Star game.
He was All-Star.
Awesome MVP. All-Star game. Yeah, it was. It was a great team. Eric Snow I remember there would just be 2-on-1s and Eric Snow is the lone man. Now I really see him getting like back in the day, old man. But he would just draw a charge, I swear, 90% of the time when he was the lone man back on a 2-on-1. It was beautiful.
Your favorite player on that team had to be Iverson, obviously. But who was the second favorite player on that team? So many characters on that team.
It might have been Aaron McKay. I liked Aaron McKay a lot because I had followed Aaron McKay and Eddie Jones during their Temple days. Great defender, great mid-range game. And then I don't know what his numbers were for three. I feel like they probably weren't great, but I feel like he hit some of them in a big spot. So I felt like with AI, you needed another guard who could really defend. They obviously had that in Eric Snow. And then when Aaron McKay would come in, they had that. As well. Listen, that Theo Ratliff-Mutombo trade. I mean, man, that was a fun huge season. I liked Theo before that trade. I understand why they had to do it, but Ratliff was a fun player. It was just a fun team.
Yeah. I loved hearing. You know what I loved hearing? I don't know how to do it. I'm gonna try to do it. Jermaine Jones.
Oh, I was at that game. I'm in the upper level. Shout out to MC, listener to the pod. His brother got tickets. We're in the upper level and
first Jumaine Union Jones Center.
Jumaine Jones had the game. Jumaine Jones just draining threes. We're like, what is going on here? Oh my gosh. Rajah Bell. Oh my gosh. Those were.
Man, they had so many good players on that team, man. That truly is the reason why, like, I was outside. I remember the frenzy of people like honking for the Sixers at that time?
Yes.
Like, I literally had a poster in front of my crib, like, yo, honk for the Sixers, like, with my AI jersey outside. Like, I love that team so much. But I don't know, man. I'm going to watch it. I did have an offer for some Phillies Mets tickets tonight up at City Field tonight. But I, you know what? I might just stay in and just watch it.
You can record Sixers. You can record Sixers. And we don't, you, Cliff, you don't, it's not like the national conversation is going to be about the Sixers stock tomorrow. This isn't like the Succession finale or something where you're going to have spoilers. This happened a long time ago. Go to the Phillies Mets game. And then, you know, now that the NBA is winding down, we have a lot of free time for viewing. Like, this is when I catch up on all my shows and all that. So you'll have some downtime to watch it. Don't worry about it.
That is true. And speaking of Citi Field tonight, I do have an offer to go to the game tonight, and I'm thinking about going. It is a nice little trek to get up to Citi Field from where I'm at right now. But we got to talk about our Phillies, man. You know, they had another loss last night, unfortunately. Right now they're fourth in the NL East. I believe at the current moment they are 6.5 back from first. And look, man, like, it's night in and night out. I feel like there's just a mistake. It's either bad pitching, bad hitting, bad base running. Like, it's one of those reasons, and it's not, you know what I mean? It's not collectively, like, all those things are happening at once. It's just like one night, you know, the starter might have a good four innings rolling, and then fifth inning explosion, there's six runs, and the next night there's the starter's rolling kind of like yesterday. Literally, Ranger had a solid game. What did he give? He gave up two earned, I believe.
Great game. And, yeah, outstanding start.
Yeah, yeah. He gave up two earned last night. And they lost, 2-0? So it's nights where the bats don't wake up. It's nights where they make a crazy base running mistake. A weird fly ball somehow lands in the corner, and then another dude gets an extra base hit, plus the error after that. Like, it's just always something with this team. And I'm like, one of my homies from the group text, which is the reason why we talk about this, my boy Rich, shout out to Rich. He's like, bro, I'm starting to get in panic mode here. Like, this Trey Turner thing isn't working out. These guys aren't hitting the ball. You know, what's up with Bryce Harper right now? Like, what are we doing? And let me read off the numbers to you. Right now, the Phillies are 13th in the majors in batting average, middle of the pack. They are 23rd in the majors in home run, bottom of the pack. Strikeouts, they're 11th in strikeouts. They are 23rd in ERA with a team ERA of 4.59. They are 22nd in runs, and they are 25th with runners in scoring position. And get this, our big hitters, right? The Kyle Schwarber's of the world, he's batting 166 on the season right now. Trey Turner's batting 240 on the season. JT picked it up. He's now at 263. Remember how bad it was to start the season, but he's starting to pick it up recently. And I'm just like, when is this team going to collectively get it together? You see, the talent is there. The records, we aren't, like, the team isn't that far behind. Like, the whole NL East actually, relatively speaking, even the Nats are like 9 games back from first. Like, it's not impossible to come back from. We've seen crazier things happen in baseball, especially with the Phillies. So I'm thinking to myself, like, when does this all come together? Like, does Robbie T need to do something to talk to these guys? Like, what am I missing here? What is going on here?
Yeah, depending on when you listen to this, I would say Tuesday was the first time all season where I'm like, this team's kind of annoying me a little bit. Like, I still believe in this team. Like, I'm not off the team. Yeah, that game was annoying on Tuesday. I mean, you mentioned it. They didn't have a runner reach second base in that game. Like, how does that happen in the year 2023? A runner doesn't get the second base. Bryce Harper gets the day off. This is the Mets. You're going up against the Mets?
They went into that game. I believe they were only like a game back from the Mets going into that game, knowing how big this series could be to go into June and possibly overtake the Mets in the NL East standings here to be in third in the NL East standings. And I'm just like, why is he taking the day off? Like, what is going on here?
I read that they gave him the option to take Sunday or Tuesday off. And I understand you want to keep him healthy. He's actually playing great. Like, he just came back and was their best hitter off of this big surgery. But I was like, why is he not playing in this game? And then JT Realmuto is on first base, their second base runner of the game. They're down 2-0. And he tries to steal second and gets thrown out.
That's what I'll be talking about.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
One run doesn't matter. You're down 2-0. The tying run is at the plate. And you're trying to steal second. They just find ways to do dumb stuff. They have been a very dumb team this year, both on the base paths, defensively. And then the other thing is with their approach at the plate, there's this stat called chase percentage, which is basically How often do you swing at a ball outside the strike zone? They're at 31.7%, the second worst chase percentage in the major leagues. And so they're chasing bad pitches. They're not hitting home runs, as you mentioned. They're 23rd in the majors in at-bats per home run. This stat from Matt Gelbcliff. They're one and two batters in the lineup have an on-base percentage of 270. Are you ready for this? That's the fourth worst mark in the majors since 1920, the live ball era. Like, historically bad. Trey Turner has the worst OPS of any everyday hitter in their lineup, okay? Yeah. His OBP, on-base percentage, is 285. There are 164 qualifying players in the majors. That ranks 151st out of 164. He's got to get it going. I don't want to overreact. Yeah. I keep waiting. I'm like, come on. Like, if he puts the team on his back in July or August, that's fine. But I just thought after that World Baseball Classic, I was like, oh man, he's going to come in, be a fan favorite. He's been bad in the field too. The other day, the ball was player. Right under his glove.
5-2 player. We've seen it. Yeah.
It's not working. So that's annoying me. I will say with Schwarber, I just looked this up this morning. There's this stat, batting average balls in play, which is basically, it's a way to measure how lucky or unlucky you are. He has the lowest batting average of balls in play of any qualifying player in the majors, which means, like, you know, even if he's hitting the ball hard, it's right at a guy or they're making plays. Yeah, and June is his month. Like, he's going to own June like he always does. And be fine. So I still think they can go on a run. I think Schwarber's going to get hot in June. Bryce Harper had his day off, so now he can be in the lineup every day. That Ranger Suarez start was hopefully encouraging. Zach Wheeler, his last start was like the best start by any Phillies pitcher all season long. So they have an issue with the fifth starter. I'm still bullish on the lineup. I would like to see the approach be a little bit better. But
if you see the lineup, like the younger guys, well, besides obviously Castellanos got paid, but he's leading the team in average. Yeah. And then you got Bohm, Stott. Like, those are the dudes. Those are the dudes that are
fine.
Hitting.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Like, it's the big guns that aren't really doing their thing right now. And obviously Bryce coming back from injury, we still know, you know, Tommy John, he's not fully recovered yet. I expect him to be probably better around like July 4th, you know, same with Trey Turner. Like, I expect him to pick it up too. But it's just
Guy they need. Trey Turner, they need something from. If he was just like his career average, we'd probably be having a totally different conversation right now.
Right. And what I'm concerned about is just like the fielding errors and like just the base running mistakes and all that stuff.
Running.
And I thought Robbie T was here to clean all that up. And right now it's just like every night I'm watching his little presser from the office or whatever. He's just sitting there. He's like, yeah, man, you know, saying the same thing. So yeah, we got to do better when we're on the base path. We gotta catch those balls when they're flying out in the corners over there, and you know we can't just be missing some of these dingers in the field. And I'm just like, bro, like how is this consistently happening for these guys who are all really good in their own right? Like, you have a bunch of former All-Stars on the team. You have a bunch of, you know, you even have some major World Series winners on this team. And I'm just like, How is this consistently a problem? Like, what are you guys doing? That's like, is it coaching? Is it the players? Like, is it the opposition? Like, I'm generally confused about why this consistently happens. Like, there's always one meltdown with the Phillies. It's not
right.
It's not just a base running. It's not just a pitching. It's something that'll detrimental to the game. And I'm like, why is this always happening to the Phillies? Like, we are now almost in June. Like, fix this.
Yeah, they're really finding ways to
every night
lose games. It's not their record. It's how they're kind of losing the games. It feels like so much self-inflicted stuff. I'm gonna take a deep breath. I still think they're gonna be okay, but I'm with you. Like, that was the first game where I'm kind of like, all right, guys, what is going on with this team? I'm not just gonna say it's early anymore. So I want to see that fixed. All right, we got anything else, Cliff, on the group chat, or is that?
Nah, honestly, the Eagles stuff has been super quiet recently. So
yeah,
I want to know, man, what's going on with the Eagles front right now? I haven't really seen too much coming from camps or anything from OTA.
Yeah, they've got.
I've seen some highlights.
They've got the most abbreviated offseason program in the NFL. They just do 6 days of OTAs where you can do 10, and they're not doing a mandatory mini camp, which is 3 days. So it's the lightest offseason program in the league. They did the same thing last year. I'm totally fine with it. I don't think you need to, you know, you talk to any NFL veteran, they're like, I don't need to be doing that. It helps the younger players more, but the younger players can get the work in if they want to. Nolan Smith can go in whenever he wants to. So that's one thing.
You saw what he said on draft night?
No, like, no, he was on with Chris Long, right? He did a podcast.
He was talking to Coach Desai, and he was like, look, man, send me the damn playbook. I want to play. I got to
get the quote.
He said, Coach Sean, I know you're busy. I want that playbook. I want it. I want that PDF. I want to be on that effing field. I want to show y'all why you should pick me number one. I'm being dead ass serious.
What? Yeah, if he could play, he's going to be a fan favorite because the way he talks, he's kind of got that special trait.
Yeah, we gotta get him on. I gotta talk to some of our Eagles connects, man. Like, yeah, we gotta get one of these dudes on. I want to hear from them. Matter of fact, we still gotta get DeAndre Swift dad on too. We gotta talk to him, man. We got time.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got time. We gonna talk to him. Hey, Coach Swift, did you listen to this, man? We got you. We gonna get you on here soon. So yeah,
there you go. And then the only other thing was, there's the DeAndre Hopkins talk. Could he be a fit for the Eagles? I mean, I don't see it. If you look at it, he's going to be 31 years old. If you look at it last year, wide receivers who were 31 or older, only two in the NFL had more than 500 receivers. Adam Thielen and Marvin Jones. That's a young man's position. Going to want money. He's going to be your third or fourth receiving option. So he actually was a good player last year, averaged almost 80 yards per game when he plays, which correlates to like 1,300 receiving yards in a season. So I think he can help someone, but 31 years old, had a PED suspension last year, and there's too many mouths to feed. Like, you've got to be smart with the way you allocate your resources. So I'm a no on DeAndre Hopkins. I would be stunned if he ended up in it.
You know where you're going to be at, though, right? You know where he's going to end up at, right? Yeah, he's going to be right back with the Chiefs.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he should be.
That'd be smart. If I'm them, that's a good signing because they don't have a loaded wide receiver group. He's going to get the ball a lot there. You play with a great quarterback. Like, that to me, unless somebody else is willing to pay you a lot more, that would make a lot of sense.
Man, we have the running back. I like him, though, still. I still think he got some – he definitely got a lot to play. Like that whole 31 PED suspension thing, like, I get it. That sounds crazy old. But to me, it's just like, that's hot, man. That's DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
And he's never
a great athlete. Yeah. He's going to win on the outside. So would translate all right.
Like, his whole career has been, if you throw it up there, bro, I'm catching it. Like, I don't care what DB is on me. It's coming to me. So he's still a super threat. Like, I want to see dudes like him and Odell this year. I'm kind of curious to see, like, guys coming off of, either down years. Odell obviously didn't play last year. Like, I'm kind of curious to see that 30 and up club, see what they do this year. So I pray he doesn't go to Kansas City and we have to see them in the Super Bowl. And then Bradbury or somebody has to do some crazy.
You're already looking at it's not or, like I don't want to see him in the division. You're like, I don't want to see him in the Super Bowl.
I mean, who we go if he let's be honest, like, would you be terrified if he went to, the Giants? Like, no. Like, it wouldn't scare me because the Giants still got Daniel Jones at the end of the day. So I'm not – like, none of that terrifies me. Or if he went to who? The Football Commanders or whoever? Sam Howell and Bieniemy. Like, none of that.
Listen,
I no disrespect to anybody in the division. Obviously, you have to take everybody seriously no matter what. No one in the division really fears me at all. And this is just me looking at talent to talent, coach to coach, whatever, coordinator to coordinator. I have no fear in whoever the Eagles play this year in the division. Like, I just don't. Nobody fears me whatsoever.
They're the favorites, no doubt about it. You got Mike McCarthy in Dallas, and then the other two teams just aren't as good as the Eagles. So, we'll get NBA Finals, and then it'll be baseball, and then everyone will just be waiting for training camp to start. So we'll get into all of that for sure. All right. Thank you to Cliff. Another great Cliff's group chat. And for those who are kind of confused about the setup here, basically we do a segment for FanDuel TV every week, and that airs, I believe, Fridays on FanDuel TV. So they do a little rundown of all the local shows. So that's why the first segment we do about 12 to 15 minutes, and that's going to air on FanDuel TV. And also you can watch that on Spotify video on your app. And then we figure, we might as well just blow it out and do a full show. So that was the setup here. So thanks to Raheem, Thanks to Cliff. Appreciate everyone listening. We will talk to you soon on the Ringers Philly Special.